I want to say thank you for everything that you have done for us and have done and will do. And I want to say thank you, first of all, to Pastor for being so kind and hospitable to us. It's many times that we've been to just shy of 300 churches on deputation. And sometimes you may not even meet the pastor, or you're trying to figure out who he is or who his wife is, and you're trying to just get to know a little bit about him. But Pastor has given his time to us, and I know he's very busy and has a lot he could be doing, but he realizes that there's some young preacher boys here that are headed out to start a church and follow in his footsteps as he's done, and live a life that he's lived. And he's given his time to us, and I appreciate that, Pastor. Thank you very, very much. And I also want to thank you for the opportunity to preach. And I understand that God holds you responsible for your people and what's taught to your sheep and his sheep. And so I take that very highly, and I understand that, and I'm very grateful that you've given me the opportunity to do that. I want to say thank you to the church members here. You have held the reins, and you stood behind Dr. Cox, and you said FBMI is a worthy cause and something that needs to be done, and somebody has to do it, and your church stood behind, and you suffered a lot, and you paid a lot for it, and we believe it's just the greatest asset to missionaries, besides, of course, the church and Jesus Christ, but the greatest help, and so we're very thankful that you have done all that you did in here and being here and standing behind FBMI and making it a successful mission board for us to be able to join as we are the 146th members of FBMI missionaries, and we're very thankful that you have stood behind that. As well, we're thankful that you give to Faith Promise Missions. As a missionary that's been on the field for a short time, I can tell you that when missionaries wake up in the morning and they see the exchange rate, and they worry about things sometimes. And we try and live by faith, just like you try and live by faith. But not a day goes by I don't think about the sacrifice that people in America are giving to for us to be on the field and to be able to preach the gospel there. And you know, I mean, honestly, you don't have to give to Faith Promise Missions. The Bible says that you don't have to. It's out of the abundance of your heart. It's something you do that shows that you love God. Now, you have to give your tithe. There's no question about that. There's no way out of that. And I believe if you want to obey God's commands, you have to, as was shown by even Brother Marasco last night in Acts 1:8. But the truth is that you still don't have to. If you don't want to obey God, you don't have to. And so I thank you for being willing to obey God, being willing to give of what he's given you and give it back to him. And I'm sure that you get the blessings for it as well. But we're grateful as a missionary. And I'm sure your missionaries on the field would echo the same thing. And they would say thank you so much for being the recipients of your love for them and for Jesus Christ. I want to say thank you to our team individually, and Mrs. Morin, and I heard that we got the best team, and I'm excited about that, and I thank you for our team. I don't know all the team members, but I'm so grateful for each one of you that has joined the team that we're on this year, and backed up Mrs. Morin and the group as people helping for us, and we are very humbled and grateful that you've helped and been a help to us while we're here and continuing on. I also want to thank Mrs. Morin for the meal on Saturday, and the Palmanis for coming over and joining us for the meal there. And I want to thank the Fishers also for the meal on Sunday, and just a delicious meal. Thank the Wilbars for Sunday night and the opportunity that we had to fellowship with them. And William enjoyed playing with Andrew there, and we had a good time over there as well. Thank the Fletchers also for taking us out yesterday and being a blessing to us. I want to thank the Shawvers for putting us up, Josh for giving up your room, and your parents, of course, for giving up theirs to us. That's more than we ever expect. We're just so grateful that you would all do this for us. And for the Kings also, taking us out for the opportunity to fellowship tomorrow night. And for the entire church family for giving so much and doing so much to be a blessing to us. We're very, very, very grateful. I want to thank my wife, most importantly. And my wife, she has just joined me in whatever I've said and the crazy schedule I've made for us. And we have just driven everywhere and flown everywhere and done everything we could do to raise our support. And I talked to her at the beginning of deputation. I said, you know, if you'll just stick by me. And I said, these will be a crazy few years. I said, but if we can just get through these years, I said, we'll get to Italy and we'll settle into what we would call a normal lifestyle and try and just get through these next couple years of deputation and the awkward situations we've been put in and the different circumstances that have happened. And we've had ants attack our home. And if you know, our home is our van, and so they came inside, and they were all over inside of our van, and we figured out how you can get rid of ants in your van. If you need to know, you can contact me, and we called all the little fogging companies and figured out exactly how to do it. And so we know now, and we've experienced a lot of blowouts and different things on the road, but God's always been faithful. He's always provided for us, and we've seen His hand very, very strong in deputation. But I thank my wife for just sticking with me and staying faithful and helping me along the way. She's been my map, my secretary. She's been, of course, babysitter and mommy to William. And she's just been the greatest wife I could ask for, and God's given me the perfect wife. And I thank you, sweetie. I love you. I do want to ask you one thing. We don't ask anything of a church. We don't expect anything of a church when we go in. And we're privileged to have the opportunity to present our ministry. But we have a prayer card on our display downstairs. And it just looks something similar to these and the other missionaries have them as well. And if you would go by our table and you would get a prayer card and pray for us, that is the greatest thing you could ever do for any missionary. I think sometimes we try and replace prayer with money, and that doesn't work. We need prayer. And my wife and I, we've talked about it, we've discussed it. And if somebody were to come up to us in one hand, they'd say, we have $10,000 in this hand, and we have 5 minutes of time tomorrow morning that we can pray for you. Which one do you prefer? Which one do you want? And we've talked about it and discussed it, and we've decided we want both. And so we've got it settled. But honestly, to be honest, the money comes and goes. But you know, the prayers and the strength that God could give us could not be replaced with money. And so please, please, please grab our prayer cards, pray for us, and pray for the Moroscos and the Morellis and the Siegerts as well. And we would all appreciate that very much. We're going to read here 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. I'm just going to talk 1 second here about faith promise, and then we're going to turn in our Bibles. But because we give you a little 4x6 picture of us, and we ask you to pray for us, we feel like it's necessary to return the favor. And so we're going to take a picture of you real quick, and we'll make a little prayer card out of it, and we'll pray for your church. So if everybody'd smile real quick, 3, 2. All right, your hair's sticking up back there. All right, ready? 3, 2, 1. All right. Thank you for allowing us to do that. Not that you had a choice, but I appreciate it nonetheless. Let me turn this on here. Okay. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for your grace in our life. Thank you for the love that you have for us. Thank you for showing yourself strong in our lives. Lord, I just pray that you would continue to bless the Berean Baptist Church. Lord, I owe a great debt to them as founders of FBMI. And Lord, we want to do so much more and be a blessing here. And so, Lord, I pray that we would, and I pray that you would have your way in the service tonight. I ask you to work in our hearts and our lives, Lord. We have so much need in our life, yet we need you most importantly than all the peripheral things that we like to call the needs or the problems of life. We need you. Lord, help us to be people that are willing to give ourselves to you first, are willing to open up our lives and look honestly at what we've done and the opportunities we have ahead of us and realize how great of a God you are, Lord. And we just want to love on you and serve you our whole life. Lord, help us tonight. I need your strength. I need your help. In your precious name we ask these things. Amen. And the Bible talks here, and we use this passage as our faith promise passage, and I'm sure you know even much better than I the account here that was given and all that is said. But verse number 5, and this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. It has to start at us giving ourselves to God. And that is where everything starts. The title of the message tonight is The Dirt or the Rocks. The Dirt or the Rocks. John chapter number 2, if you want to turn there, I'm going to go kind of quick and I'll try and summarize some of the passages here. And we'll get through this in a short amount of time. John chapter number 2 and verse number 2. I don't claim to be a great preacher. We were in a meeting, I believe it was in Michigan or so, it was a week-long meeting. I had preached on it, I believe it was a Tuesday night, and we got out of the meeting later in the week, and we just decided to head out right after church and try and get down to Ohio. And we left there, and almost immediately we got pulled over by a police officer. And I was thinking, I can't afford this. I can't pay this, and I was so frustrated. The police officer came up to the window and he asked for my license and registration. I said, "Officer," I said, "sir," I said, "I'm sorry, I'm just a poor preacher." I said, I can't afford to pay a bill or a ticket or anything. And he looked at me and he said, "I recognize you. You preached on Tuesday night at such and such Baptist church." He said, "You're right. You are a poor preacher." So I don't claim to be a great preacher, but God's a great God, and I'm just going to talk about him tonight a little bit here. John chapter number 2, verse number 2, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, "They have no wine." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman," I love the way Jesus talks. I don't know. There's just something about the way he talks. John chapter number 4, he does the same thing. "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. Jesus saith unto them, "Fill the water pots with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he saith unto them, "Draw out now, and bear unto the governor of the feast." And they bear it. And we see here in this small passage, we see that Jesus was trying to get people involved. Jesus certainly, I believe if he wanted to, Jesus could have just had the water pots appear. I believe if he wanted to, they could have been completely empty, and he could have just made it be filled with wine. But Jesus knew that he had a short time on earth. And he said, "I'm going to try and get people involved." And he had the servants come and the servants fill it there. And he wanted to try and always get people involved in his ministry. John chapter number 6, we find the same thing here. If you want to turn there, you can. I won't take time to read it all. But John chapter number 6, verse number 5. "And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, 'When shall we buy bread that these may eat?'" Talking to Philip. And we heard this story last night. John chapter number 6, verse 9. There is a lad here. John 6, 10. "And Jesus said, 'Make the men to sit down.'" John chapter 6, verse 11, "And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down. And so Jesus was always trying to get people involved. And that's why probably you may feel sometimes that your pastor is trying to get you involved or trying to get the people involved in the ministry here. Why? It's not because he's trying to necessarily build the church or he's trying to just build a name for himself. He's trying to get you involved so that you have a stronger and healthier relationship with Jesus Christ, because that's what Jesus did when he was on earth. He was constantly trying to get people involved. You know the story of Lazarus. And as Lazarus was coming out of the tomb, Jesus told the people, he said, roll away the stone. Could Jesus have thrown the stone away? Could Jesus have broken the stone with the power of his voice? I believe so. Oh, yes, he could have done it. And but he wanted to get people involved. When Lazarus came out, he was bound hand and foot. And he said, go ahead, go up and unwrap him. Could Lazarus have come out without his grave clothes on? I'm sure he could have. I don't know what he was doing in there awake with his grave clothes on anyway. But I'm sure God could have had him come out without him. But no, God said it's an opportunity that I can get somebody involved. And so he said, I'm going to keep this opportunity here and I'm going to try and get some people involved in the ministry. And God was always looking to get people involved. Turn, if you would, first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 7. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 7. At another meeting we were at, while you're turning, I'll tell you this. We were, I had preached a message and we were at the back and I was standing beside the pastor and everybody was kind of filing out of the church and they were going out the doors. They shook the pastor's hand. They shook my hand. The very first man that came out was this very elderly man, probably 150 years old or so. And he shook the pastor's hand. He shook my hand. He looked at me and he said, that was the worst sermon I've ever heard in my entire life. And I said, well, that's comforting. Thank you. And honestly, it wouldn't have been so bad, let's say, if maybe Jacob had told me that. And I wouldn't have felt so bad about that. You know, he hasn't heard too many sermons in his life. And but this man had obviously heard hundreds of sermons. And I thought, that's pretty bad. And the pastor came over to me and he said, Brother Yetzer, he said, that old man, he was trying to comfort me. And he said, that old man, he doesn't understand a thing. He just repeats everything everybody else says. He doesn't know anything at all. Very comforting it was. And Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What's our bodies? What's our flesh? It's a big pile of dirt. And that's what we are. And Brother Morosco was talking about last night how insignificant we are and how short we come to reaching a perfection. And I'm not saying God doesn't love us. God loves us, but you know, he's not taking our body on to heaven with him, on to heaven with us. He says, I'm going to leave that pile of dirt down there and I'll take your soul and your spirit with you. And so we leave our body here and we are dirt. But yet that's what God wants. Jesus said, that's what I want to use. That's what I want to be my partner on earth. I want to take that big pile of dirt there and I want to use it to do great works on earth and to tell people about me and to share the gospel around the world. So we have the dirt. As God wants to use us, how can we be used best? Turn to John chapter number 8. I'm sorry, I'm going to have you going everywhere. I love the Bible and I am not a scholar of the Bible, but I do like to study it And so I tend to use a lot of verses in John chapter number 8, verse number 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus tells us that he is the light of the world. Turn back to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 14. The Bible says here, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. And so Jesus says that he is the light of the world. And yet when we get saved, a part of Jesus, and we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, we become endued with God inside of us. And so Jesus says, now ye are the light of the world. I am the light of the world, but now ye are the light of the world. And what's that light supposed to do? Turn to Revelation chapter number 1. Revelation chapter number 1. I'm gonna read you real quickly. A verse here in Luke while you're turning there. Luke chapter number 11, verse number 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. So our light is not supposed to be hid under a bushel. We're supposed to take our light and put it on a candlestick. And if you are in Revelation chapter number 1, verse number 20, we find here the Bible says, "The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, the seven stars, are the angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." We are the light of the world. Jesus Christ is inside of us, and we're supposed to take that light and shine it around the world. How do we do it most effectively? We don't hide under a bushel. We go to the candlestick, and we put our light on top of a candlestick, and that candlestick is the church. And will you take your light that God's given you, and you give your light to the church, and you and your pastor and the men of the church here and the deacons, they you come together with God and you decide where best that light can be shined in the world, and you talk together and you come to a conclusion that God's called you to this place or that place, and your pastor and your church agrees and sends you forth as they did the disciples and the apostles, and as we'll look at here in just a little bit, and that's what we are supposed to do. As individuals, God has given us a light to take into the dark world, and He says the way that you shine that best is on the local church. You make sure that you're attached to the candlestick at all times. And number one, we have the dirt in our bodies, and how do we best use that dirt that we have? It's through the local church, the candlestick. Imagine that every one of us in here decides that we want to build a Camaro. And we say, all right, I have a desire, a burden in my heart. God's given me this burden. I'm going to build a 2010 Camaro, and I'm going to just build it from scratch. I'm going to use all the raw products. I'm not going to use any stamped or machined things. I'm going to do it all myself. And you go tonight and you go back home and you sit in your garage and you say, all right, what do I need? I need some metal. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to go find, dig and dig and dig and try and find some metal ore out there, and I'm going to have to melt it down all by myself and make each individual part. How many do you think you could build in your lifetime? Anybody think that? I really doubt. I know for a fact I could not build one in my lifetime. Now maybe some of you that worked at GM, you might be able to say, I know exactly how all that goes together, and I don't know about that, but I know I couldn't get one done. But you know what? You put that many people, this many people in a church here, you put them on an assembly line, and you give them the instructions and how to do everything, and sure enough, right down the line, they can produce about a car every minute. And it's just amazing what can happen when you get behind an organized place called the local church that God put us under. And the church is a powerful place. You don't think that it's a great place? Go to a country where you don't have a church to attend every week. And now don't do that if you're not spiritual and you don't want to go to church. I'm saying if you want to go to church and you love God and you're trying to read your Bible and pray and build a strong relationship with God, try doing it without a church. Yeah. And just try it for a little bit. It is not easy. And it has been difficult for us trying to get things started and go to the other churches that are there and not have a solid foundational place where you go every week. And you call your home, and you have people that love you and recognize you and call you by name, and people that just smile when they see you walk through the door. And it's difficult when you don't have a place like this. Point number three is the rocks. Turn to Luke chapter number 19. Luke chapter number 19, verse number 29. God wants to use you. He wants to use us. We're unworthy of it. We're undeserving of it. But He wants to. And we need to give our lives to Him. Luke chapter number 19, verse number 29. And it came to pass when He was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, He sent two of His disciples, saying, "Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say, unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. Now, can you imagine? That's basically like saying today, there's a brand new Corvette down there, and the keys are in it, and a brand new, no miles on it, none at all. Never been sat on before. Nobody's ever even sat in the driver's seat of that Corvette. And I want you disciples, I want you to go down there, I want you to get in it, I want you to turn it on. If anybody comes out and says anything to you, just say it's the Lord has need of it. And okay, whatever you say, Jesus, sure thing. And they had a little bit of faith, a little bit. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And I believe that this passage of Scripture here is a very important day in history. It was a very prophetic day. It was much more than I even can understand. Like I said, I'm not a scholar. I love to study the Bible, but this was an important day. And I understand that this would not happen today, I don't believe. But let me ask you a question, though. If you happened to be one of those disciples there that day, and Jesus was riding down there, and would he have to look at the stones and say, they're not doing it? Will you cry out, hey, stones, they're not obeying. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. Would you cry out? I don't know about you, but I'd hate to see Jesus have to look to some measly rocks and say, you know, my disciples, the ones I love, the ones I'm giving my life for, the ones I came to earth for and am sacrificing my life, they won't praise me. They won't tell anybody about me. I'd just rather use the rocks. I mean, I try to get them involved in everything I did. I tried to get them to carry the baskets of fragments. I tried to get them involved in every part of my ministry. I tried to teach them. I tried to love on them. I tried to do everything I could for them. And no, they won't do it. Rocks, why don't you go ahead and praise me, Rocks? You'll do a good job. You'll be successful at it. You go ahead and you tell people about me. I don't know about you, but I hope I'd be there. Lord, pick me, please, Lord. I want to praise you. I'll do it. And let me ask you, if God took every command in the Bible, if there was not there any, go ye therefore, would anybody go? Would anybody say, you know, I love God. I don't know. He did so much for me. I just can't help it. Can I tell somebody? Is that all right? I mean, I know he didn't command me to, but I just want to. I just feel like telling somebody. And I don't know about, I know God's smarter than I am, and that's why he put the commands in there, because even I need the commands to refresh my spirit and get me going and say, yes, Lord, we need to do this. Yes, Lord, I know I need to do this, but I just wonder if there'd be anybody on earth that would say, you know, he's just been so good to me. I don't know, I just can't help but praise him a little bit more. I just can't help but just to tell somebody. I just want to tell one more person. Turn to Matthew chapter number 28. We'll be done here in just probably 5 minutes. I skipped half my notes and I preach kind of quick, so we'll be done very, very quick. Matthew chapter number 28. I want to go back just a little bit before the phrase we have here behind us, verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Verse 16, then the 11 disciples. Turn with me to Mark chapter number 16. Mark chapter number 16, verse number 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Verse 14, after he appeared unto the 11. Turn with me, if you would, to Acts chapter number 1. I'm sorry, I missed another verse here. I'll just read it to you. Luke 24, 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power. Acts chapter number 1, verse number 2. Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles, whom he had chosen, pretty specific there, whom he had chosen, those apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, Ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put into his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now, if you would, turn with me to Acts chapter number 8. We just read there many times where Jesus commanded his apostles. He commanded the 11. Of course, Acts chapter number 1, we add the 12th back again, and we come down here to Acts chapter number 8. And of course, as many of you know, the persecution started against the church, and we find what happens here, Acts chapter number 8, verse number 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Except the apostles. Jesus sat there with the apostles, with the 11, and he said, Go. Go. He said, wait till the power comes. Wait till the Holy Spirit fills you in Jerusalem. But he said, wait there until the Holy Spirit fills you. That happened in Acts chapter number 2. And he said, okay, now go. He commanded them very clearly. It was not a commission given to the entire group of disciples. It was, I believe it is for us, and it was for the disciples to continue to carry on and train the others. But what happened here when everybody else left and the disciples and the apostles there, they sat there and they stayed. We find the very first thing that happens after this is, of course, Saul is wreaking havoc there. Go down to verse number 5. We find here in verse number 5, Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. This is not the same Philip that was an apostle. If you go through Matthew chapter number 10, you'll find in Matthew chapter number 10 that you have a list of the disciples, the apostles that Jesus Christ ordained. You come into, Acts chapter number 6 and verse number 2. You'll find here in Acts chapter number 6, verse number 2, then the 12 called the multitude to get of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among the 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over the business, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip. This is not the same Philip. The 12 apostles that Jesus Christ chose and ordained, they chose the 7 men and Stephen. They chose this other Philip. This was Philip, the first man that went out, that we see here, went down to Samaria in Acts chapter number 8, was not even one of the apostles. And yet he took the gospel there. And if you continue on, we'll see what happens. My notes here, Acts chapter number 8, verse number 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. I don't know about you, but just in studying this, I quiver at the thought that God himself stood there and told his disciples to go. And yet they sat there and they waited. And the church grew. And they said, there's thousands of people coming here. This is a happening place to be. I mean, this is amazing. God, why should we go anywhere? This is great. And God said, that's not what I told you to do. He said, I told you to go. And finally, after the persecution, after all these other people, all the church members leave, and the apostles are sitting there, and they go, wow, it's pretty bare now. Where'd everybody go? What happened? Finally, they get news back that Philip, one of these people that's supposed to be waiting tables, goes out and preaches the gospel in Samaria, and they say, hey, the water's pretty good out there. It's okay. We're not going to die right now. Not just yet. We can take the gospel and we can preach to anybody. And they finally realized that they had a little bit of strength in them, that they could go out and they could reach people. I don't know about you, but would to God that I'd be the dirt and not the rocks. Would to God that God would say, I want to use you. And we would say, yes, Lord, use me. I want God to use me. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 28. We'll be done. I have 2 verses, 1 saying. That's it. Romans chapter number 8, verse number 28. Most of you, I'm sure, know this verse by heart. I get a little nervous when I preach, so I don't try and quote too much. Acts chapter number 8, verse number 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that are love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Who are the called according to His purpose. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 9. Again, another familiar verse. 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If God is going to provide everything for you according to His purpose when He calls you, and His purpose or His will is that everybody should be saved, then is not this saying true? Isabella Kuhn, missionary to China and Thailand, she said, I believe that in each generation, God has called enough men and women to evangelize all the yet unreached tribes of the earth. It is not God that does not call. It is man that will not respond. I believe, very simply, the reason that we are not reaching the world, the reason that the world is not reached, is because that very first word in that sign is not being obeyed. Jesus told the disciples to go. And yet they stood in fear. They stood in joy and happiness because of the church, but in fear of what would happen if they went outside of Jerusalem. And yet God's given that command to us. And He says, as you go, I'll take care of you according to my purpose. You take that little light that you have and you give it to the church. And you work through and with the church and to reach the worlds beyond. I think in that church there, all those people just got up and they left and they went. And the gospel got preached around the world. I mean, they turned the world upside down because some people realized that God was calling them all along. And it's not God that does not call. Nobody's going to foot the bill to God and say, well, God, it's your fault. I'm sorry that the world didn't get reached, but I did what I could. God said, go. 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 Very simple, two-letter word. Go. I don't know who it is tonight that maybe all along, ever since FBMI has been started here, many, many years ago, you felt that God wanted you to go to the mission field, wanted you to go around this corner, wanted you to go across the street. And yet you put $20 in the offering plate or $100 or $200 towards Faith Promise a week, whatever it is, and you said, that'll do. But yet God keeps saying, go. 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 Why don't we go ahead and stand to our feet, bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm going to have Pastor come. Lord, we're so grateful for all that you've done to us. You are so good to us. Everything that we have, every breath that we take, every breath we take, Lord, is so undeserving. We fall so short of meeting what we should be. And yet, Lord, you're so kind to us. And yet you've commanded so many, you've called so many, and so many have been unwilling, Lord. I just pray that you would, tonight in this service here, in our hearts, I pray that you would help each one of us. Maybe a teenager here tonight had some desire in their heart of going into the military, going off to college for something else, going somewhere else, doing something different. I don't know, Lord. And whatever you call them to do, that's fine, Lord. We want to do what you want us to do. But I just ask you, I wonder if there's not somebody here that they know deep down inside their heart that you've been pricking at them the whole time. You've been calling them. And they just haven't recognized the voice or they haven't given heed to the calling. Lord, how will the world hear without a preacher? Help us tonight, Lord. We need you. We love you. And we're grateful for all that you do. In Jesus' name.